It's time for the Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with entrepreneurs and thought leaders in staffing and recruiting.
How do you guys differentiate yourselves from your competitors? Is ACA a threat or an opportunity for the staffing industry? How can the staffing industry improve the candidate experience? What will be keeping you up at night over the next 2 years?
And here's your host, Todd Lewandowski.
Welcome, everybody, to another fantastic edition of Secrets of Staffing Success. Of course, you can always find this podcast on all the usual places, on iTunes, on Google Play, on Spotify. If you have an iPhone or an Apple device, you can just use the podcast app and search for Secrets of Staffing Success, and you will find us there. You can subscribe, and you can have all of the brand new episodes sent directly to your device. And while you're in there, if you don't mind just leaving us a review and letting us know what you think of the show, we would greatly appreciate that one. And also, all of our episodes are at HaleyMarketing.com. Just go under the Secrets of Staffing Success section, and you will find all of our past episodes in there as well. Before we get started, I just want to thank everybody for the great feedback from our last episode with Scott Wintrip. Scott, of course, was great as usual, and everybody really seemed to enjoy it. In fact, I think it was our highest or our most listened to episode to date. So thank you very much for everybody who shared it on social media and responded and commented on it. We will definitely have Scott back on in the near future as well. And I think this week's episode is going to be just as popular with everybody. Our guest this week on Secrets of Staffing Success is the president of Crescendo Consulting, Leanne Pinard. Leanne, thank you so much for joining us this week.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, I always love hearing the stories of how my guests got into the staffing or recruiting industry, and yours is just as interesting, where I understand you kind of literally worked your way up from the very bottom of the staffing industry into where you are now. So give us a little idea of how you got started.
Well, it's a fun story, as you said. I started out walking into a temporary service agency looking for a job straight out of college. I had moved to a new city and didn't have any connections. And so I knocked on the door of a couple of places and I got calls immediately and was hired in by one as a temporary first, an in-house temp, and then was brought in on staff and was fortunate enough to get great mentors and learn a lot in the industry and move around. But I did everything from way back when you had to do data entry on resumes to get them in, and then work my way from admin positions into manager of customer satisfaction, on-site vice president. And then I ended up running the division where I first walked in the door.
That's great. And you know, since you have that unique perspective of being on both sides of the temporary staffing world, how much has the candidate experience changed over the years? And how much more does the staffing industry need to do to make it a better experience for candidates?
Well, I think it is, depending on your perspective, it can be better or worse. Looking at it from a touch perspective, if customers, or actually if vendors in our industry are not really careful, as providers, we can lose that personal touch now because so much of it is done online and so much of it is outsourced. So so you can lose that personal touch, whereas in the quote-unquote old days, you know, you did get that personal interview. You walked in the door, they saw your face, they knew about you, and depending on whether you were, you know, in a more clerical or light industrial field versus a professional field, you still had that connection with your individual recruiter. So you would get a business card, you would call a specific person back. And that's harder to generate in today's society. But yet, if you think about all the great things that we can learn and share digitally about each other, the fact that, hey, you can know when a person is available, you can know when they're close to a job, you can track much more easily all those events that are in a person's life that are important. Hey, Sam, we're celebrating your first anniversary with us. This is 3 years from when you walked in the door. You know, thank you so much for finishing this first assignment. We can also reach out at different levels much more easily than we could in the past. So I'm kind of talking around it, but I really feel that it depends on how much we pay attention to the personal side of the business.
Yeah, and that's a really great point. You know, we talked about in our last episode, we had Scott Wintrip on, about the old days of doing things. And the candidate would sometimes be in the office for 2 to 3 hours filling out paperwork and doing the testing. And now things have become more streamlined. But you make a great point that with that streamlining, also, you do lose a little bit of that personal touch, and that seems to be a big concern for the staffing industry now. You know, with so much automation, everybody who I've talked to on this program, we've talked about automation and online and technology, their biggest concern is we can't lose that personal touch. So, you know, what are some ways we can still keep that personal touch along with streamlining the candidate experience?
Well, you want it all, don't you? You want the personal touch, the streamline.
I do.
Well, I mean, let's start with how do you personalize automation? I think we miss a lot of opportunities just by not being brilliant at the basics with people. If someone's earning you revenue and you know their birthday and the day they started their assignment with you, how negligent is it of us if we're not reaching out to them in a personal way on those days? People want that. And that's the very simplest thing. But I know that in the years when I used to do that myself, I would get people that told me, you're the only person that told me happy birthday today, Leanne. Thank you. You know, you're the only one that remembered. I used to keep track of my clients' anniversaries with their company. And I remember a specific client who said that her own company didn't remember, but we did.
Wow.
And it's so easy to put things on a calendar and track it and have it remind you that I call that being just very brilliant at the basics. And that's what allows us to keep that personal touch. And in fact, if your mind works that way and you've set up your system that way, so that it reaches out and it tells your folks in the field, you know, hey, Bob, you have 4 people who have an anniversary this week. Make sure you send a card. Make sure you take them out to lunch. It actually automates the personalization of it. So you don't have to be this big file of decks, whatever those things used to be called. You don't have to have that computer-like memory because you have a computer that does it for you. So, you know, I think that's how you use technology to keep that personal experience. But then let's swing to the other side that you talked about, why we're all so fearful of losing it. Let's correlate that to the gig economy. If I can find a job myself and I don't believe that someone is working for me that cares about me, in this day and age, I don't need you.
Yeah.
The only reason I would need you is if you are the exclusive gate to a specific job that I'm after. But in the economy that we're in, how many of us can truly say we have a bunch of clients and we're the exclusive provider? The only way you're ever going to get in the door here is through me.
Yeah.
You know, that's very unusual. So that's why I think that fear bubbles up, you know, rightfully so. It's not just fear, it's strategy that says, hey, we can't lose this because we have to show every day that we provide a service that has value and that is a personalized service.
Yeah. You kind of led me into a question I was going to ask later on, but let's tackle it now. And that is, you know, what should be the biggest fear that staffing owners have in the next year or two? What should be keeping them up at night?
Right now, I think what's keeping all of us up at night is how do we find people, the right people more effectively? And from a supply standpoint, how do we impact the supply chain in a way that will positively impact our ability to place people, right? How can I take the folks that I have and make them more employable or differently employable? That's a big concern. I think people should be staying up at night trying to figure out how to keep the folks that they know are good in a job.
Yeah.
Because if you're not taking that person and if you're not in enough touch with your clients, know when someone's coming off an assignment so you can immediately plug them in somewhere else so they don't even have to think about looking, that's what you want. Don't even think about looking anywhere else. You know I'm going to take care of you, Sam. Hmm. You know, if things start feeling funny, come back to me. You know, we're going to get you in your next thing. That's that relationship that you want. So that's one of the things that's keeping you up. The other thing I think that's keeping us up at night. Isn't that a sad terminology? Like we get any sleep anyway? I know, right? Right now? Really? We get sleep? What's that? Hmm. So let's take a look at operations, because I'm always fascinated by where technology is applied and where it is not. And I think something that folks should be paying attention to is where are economies of scale being gained in my competition that I don't have yet? Hmm. Because we're all looking at some point, the margins are going to turn the economy is going to change. And so now in these great times that we have right now is when we're preparing for that next downturn. So I'm always thinking operationally, how can I be stronger and more efficient than my competition right now so that I'm ready when that next change came so that I can come back and acquire.
You're doing a fantastic job of leading me into all my questions here. You're like a professional. That it's kind of that what you just said kind of goes hand in hand with what my next question was going to be. And that's, you know, we're coming up, it's crazy as it sounds, to the midway point of the year. And I always like to suggest to my clients to do a mid-year assessment with, especially with their marketing and sales efforts, because that's, you know, my bread and butter there. You know, mm-hmm. what's working, what isn't, so that they're not waiting till the end of the year to make those assessments when a lot of the times it's too late. You know, so many times in this industry, I think we're reactive instead of being proactive. So as we're reaching the halfway point here, what are some of the areas that staffing and recruiting firms should be looking at when they do a mid-year assessment on their own business?
Well, I could always spat off the standard P&L mm-hmm. information and where is your money coming from? Mm-hmm. And have you taken a look at the clients that you lost this year? Mm-hmm. The clients that have disappeared, maybe mm-hmm. quietly absconded into the night. Mm-hmm. Those are always something that I like to shine a light on and say, okay, give me 5 of these and let me figure out why. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, 50, depending on your scale. You want to take a look and see why they're going somewhere else. If their business has changed, that's one thing. But if they've really gone somewhere else, you need to know why. So that's always a fun mid-year exercise that really can bring great results, because it can change around some habits or maybe some bad habits that mm-hmm. we've gotten into. I also like to look at branch-by-branch profitability. If you have multiple branches that you're taking a look at, why are the ones certain ones succeeding and others failing? Not that we don't look at that normally, but if you can pinpoint one or two reasons why a branch is succeeding or not, that's always a great thing to pay attention to mid-year, make adjustments before you're scrambling to achieve the numbers that you need to by the close of your fiscal. The other thing I'm looking at is from a spend standpoint. You know, we often don't even think to look at our analytics or at some of our expenditures until, you know, quote unquote, the contract comes up. Mm. Well, it's not always all about the contract. It's about where can I reallocate it? Do I need to spend it differently, especially when it comes in marketing? You know, should you be spending more on, you know, Google AdWords, you know, to get people? Have you apportioned it properly? Were you targeting getting clients? And right now you got more clients than you can get a hand on. So maybe you should reallocate your funding, you know, so you've already signed a contract for it. Great. But let's use it wisely.
What's the biggest myth that still exists about the staffing industry that you feel like we're still fighting all these many years later?
I think the myths differ based on the industry, like which vertical you're in. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that it's still out there, maybe that someone's going to have to come in the door and pay for the service. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's nearly as prevalent as it used to be, but it is still out there. People have a fear of that. I think that the concept internally, perhaps, is a misnomer that folks come to us only when they've lost their job. right?
Yeah.
That you can't come to us if you're just unhappy with your job and you're thinking about, you want to know what's out there. I think clients might not understand the level, if we don't educate them, of the professional workforce knowledge that we have now that we may not have had, the amount of analytics that we can give them on how they can improve. They might view internal HR groups can incorrectly view staffing companies as their competitor when we want to be their actual enabler, not their competitor. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of different myths that are out there, but they can all be dispelled with some good education.
Yeah, and I completely agree. I was just going to say the same thing, that those are really great, I guess, bullet points for staffing firms to think of when they're thinking of their marketing message or they're thinking about their branding, is that, yeah, sometimes I think we assume that the general public knows everything there is to know about staffing, and we don't do enough about education. We tell people all the time, we have the best candidates and we have the best process for finding candidates, but we don't do enough about the education about why they should be using staffing, or even with candidates, why you should be coming to a staffing agency. I think that's a really great point that you bring up.
Well, I also think when you're sitting and you're talking with HR professionals, you know, and they're your clients or potential clients, and you say, you know, talk with me about what you're doing now. And I always look at their eyes to see if they're suddenly fearful that I'm trying to, you know, well, I don't want to tell you what I'm doing, because if I tell you what I'm doing, you might do the right thing. And, you know, to educate them to, you know, to ask that question, to say, no, please understand, if you're doing something, I don't want to tap into your pool. We don't need to compete with each other. You're coming to me to get something that you don't have. So if I know where you're advertising, how you're getting, what you're targeting, I'm going to go out there and do something different that I have the skill and expertise to do and the resources internally, so that you keep what you're doing and I'm not your competitor. I'm your colleague. I'm your enabler to get more people that are qualified to do what you need us to do.
One of the things you touched on about, we were talking about passive candidates, about those candidates who aren't necessarily looking for a job that come to staffing firms. And we all know how small the unemployment market is right now, and available candidates are scarce. But what are some of your best tactics for attracting those passive candidates who aren't necessarily looking for a job right now?
Well, honestly, I spent a lot of years in technical and IT. And the best way that you can attract them is for them to hear your name from someone else. So by taking great care of your associates, you have, what is it, a 40% higher chance of bringing someone in if they're brought in with a friend, with someone who knows them, be a trusted advisor, than you do if you're just, you know, talking with someone off the street. So if I can pick up the phone and I say, Sam asked me to give you a call. You know, he's worked with me for 3 years, and he says, you're great at this. And, you know, you're going to get that call back because they trust Sam. So, I mean, that to me is the best way to get active candidates. It's by creating an active and enthusiastic and loyal associate team that is out there promoting you because you're treating them right and doing well by them.
That's a tremendous point. I have preached this many times on this show and with my clients over the years, and I don't think the staffing industry does that enough, is using your candidates as sales reps, essentially. You know, if you have 150 temporaries out there on an assignment, that's 150 sales reps out there representing you, you know, providing them with, you know, shirts with your company logo, or even business cards with your logo on them, and passing them out to people who they meet on the job, or passing them out to their friends. You know, they really are kind of essentially walking billboards for your company. They represent you. And why not tap into that resource more? And I just don't see enough staffing firms doing that on a regular basis.
Oh my goodness. I'll go one stronger on you. Who is a more vocal and proactive supporter of you than someone that has gone direct with one of your clients? Okay.
Yep.
You have these folks, thousands of them over the years, if you've been in the industry. When I go to companies and I say, well, how do you track the people that you placed out directly that, you know, went direct with the client? You know, and I get this blank look in the face.
Yep.
And it's like, oh my goodness, these are your best advocates in the world. You found them a job that they wanted to go to, and they got that direct job through you. And with all the social media and knowledge and data that we have at our fingertips today, you can track them for years. Mm-hmm. Why aren't you? You know, once you know that, you know, you put Sam to work at XYZ company, you also know statistically that he's only going to be there for 3 years. But everywhere he goes, he should have a positive reminder of you, and he can drag you right along with him. So why not keep in contact with everybody that you've ever placed? And when they go direct, it should be a celebration. You should, just like you said, have something on their desk, coffee cup in their hand, you know, hat, shirt, whatever makes sense. But man, you've got to get them to take you with them wherever they go.
Oh, you are just singing all the things that I always tell all to my clients, and not enough of them listen. You know, for an example, I had a client, and this is going back probably 10 years, so even pre-social media, and they came to me and said, you know, we have these two positions that we're having such a hard time to fill right now. What we did is we took everybody that we've placed in the past 2 years on a direct assignment, and it was maybe 250 names. You know, we'd like to send this to them, and it was a very simple message. Hey, just checking in, seeing how things are going. By the way, we have these two open positions that we're trying to fill right now. If you know of anybody, please let us know. And in that one simple email that they sent out to 250 people, I think they got something like 10 to 15 qualified candidates that they were able to put into their candidate pool. And then even one of their former candidates said, I don't know anybody, but I'm also hiring for this position. Can you help me out? And they wound and they wound up turning into a client. So it was a former candidate that then became a client in just a very simple email that it took 15 minutes to set up and pull that data out of their ATS. And there you have it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's little simple things like that can really make a difference. And I don't think enough staffing firms do.
Well, I love what you're saying. And I think it's also, let's go back to that mid-year check that we talked about and ask yourself, how easy or hard would it be for you to do that in your current ATS system?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you slice and dice your pool of people and quickly get out information to them? Can you text them?
Yep.
Can you send the email? Is it in such a way that you can have a thought and turn that thought into action before it's abandoned because it's too hard to do? Because if you think about it from the perspective of a recruiter, they're going to go path of least resistance.
Yeah.
And whereas, you know, I love them and I'm geeky myself, but you have an IT person that says, well, if you do this and you export this list to this service, and then that service allows us to do this upload, and then we, you know, flip these five things. Mm-hmm. And by the time that's happened, you've lost 80% of your recruiters because they're like, yeah, no, I'm just going to pick up the phone and call somebody, or I'm going to, you know, do something else. And yet it might be that they really need the exposure that process would allow them to have.
Mm-hmm.
So as a leader in your organization, you have to make two choices. You either have to make a faster way and an easy way for them to do it, or you've got to provide them with someone who will do it for them.
Mm.
So one or the other. But if you really want to make those 1 to 5 extra hires per week, and we all know what that does to, mm-hmm. you know, the money at the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
You know, then you got to make a choice. You either have to spend some money on those integrations and, you know, make it slick and fun to use, because we have a whole lot of systems out there that, trust me, are not fun from a recruiting standpoint.
Sales.
I mean, even sales. Sometimes you got a great recruiting tool and you're like, oh, but our poor sales team. And that's not anything you want to do either.
Mm-hmm.
So look at your systems and say, you know, what's easy, what's hard, and what should we do about it while we have money?
Yeah, right. And I think that's important to do from the candidate side of things too. We talked earlier in this show about the candidate experience, and with that streamlining, you know, sometimes we'll take a look at one of our clients' online applications, and you just keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, and everything has a star next to it, which means it's not optional. You have to fill this in, and you're going, you've done is take the long, tedious experience in the office and making them do that at home, it's still the same time. You know, you see when clients say, well, we see so much drop off. We see a lot of people going to our application, but nobody, you know, only 10% are filling it out. And you're going, well, yeah, because it's 8 pages long. You know?
Okay. So we keep adding to this mid-year check, right?
Yeah.
But let's add that you have to fill out your own application on your cell phone.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What percent do we have? Is it up to 40% now?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's somewhere running around those numbers.
Yep.
That so if you haven't filled it out on your cell phone, then you need to do that mid-year, because that's going to tell you most of what you need to know about your candidate experience.
Yes, exactly. have somebody in your office pretend that they're a candidate and go through your entire process and see how they feel at the end of it. I think that's a really great benchmark to do here mid-year for our clients. Before we finish up, I'm curious, you know, where do you look for inspiration these days? You know, who are some of your favorite innovative thinkers? You know, one of the reasons we started this podcast was to talk to people like you, innovative thinkers. But I'm always curious to hear where the innovative thinkers go for innovative thinking.
Oh, my goodness. Where can't you find it these days?
Right.
You know, I love listening to other staffing leaders. One of my, you know, the favorite events to go to is Staffing Industry Analyst Executive Forum, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. I love the data and I love the company. I learn a lot there every year. I go to American Staffing Association events, but even outside of our industry, I read like crazy. I can't even tell you how many books I have open. I'm looking around my office right now. It's stacks and I have my, I'm reading it now stack. I'm, you know, halfway through a book that Tom Erb wrote. He's in our industry and is a colleague and friend, you know, and I have, you know, just book after book. And I would say that, you know, if you're not doing that, listening to podcasts like yours, and also, shoot, I find stuff on little Facebook and other memes from my kids.
Yeah.
It's like, I need to think about that. So, you know, all you have to do is open your eyes and be looking for it and you'll find it. I think inspiration is more a state of mind than running up against something.
Hmm.
It's a choice that you make every day. I'm going to find something that motivates me. I'm going to be motivated and I'm going to act like it. And eventually, I will be, whether I am or not. But as long as the attitude is there, we get the work done and we have fun doing it.
I think those are very wise words to end on today. I like that a lot. She's Leanne Pinard, president of Crescendo Consulting. Leanne, I really can't thank you enough for all of your insight today and for sharing all of your secrets of staffing success. Thank you so much for joining us this week.
Thank you.
Wow. So much to digest there from Leanne. What really stood out to me was that statement, be brilliant at the basics. You know, my son's starting T-ball, and one of the things that, you know, they obviously teach them is the fundamentals. And we hear about that all the time in sports, but it's also important in business too, especially in staffing, to be brilliant at the small stuff, be brilliant at the fundamentals. That's what got you to your current level of success. So you need to maintain that to take it to the next level of success. Little things like when she said about asking candidates, who else do you know? You know, we're so starved for great talent right now. And she mentioned how, you know, people are more apt to work with you if they've been recommended by a friend. Just every candidate that you bring in, who else do you know? Not just people who are looking for jobs, but who else do you know that might be looking for a career change? Or who else do you think would be really good at this company? Or how about having somebody in your office filling out your own application on their phone? I loved that suggestion. I think it's a very eye-opening exercise to take part in, and I highly suggest that every staffing firm do that. Have somebody in your office go through the full application process, it, not just the application, the entire candidate experience. Have somebody do that for you. Even bring in a family member and just have them go through it. And ask them at the end, come up with a survey at the end, you know, what did you think about this? What worked? What didn't? How are you feeling after this experience? I think it'll be a very, very informative practice for all staffing firms to take part in. Yeah, so as you're coming up to the mid-year point here, do that assessment that I talked about. Do take a look at your website and take a look at your social media and take a look at your candidate experience and take a look at your application. and see what needs to be tweaked. Don't just wait till the end of the year, because then you'll have a lot of stuff to do around the holidays. Do it now to be ready for the second half of 2018 so you can really attack it and really make 2018 a special year for your staffing firm. That'll do it for us. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank our guest, Leanne Pinard from Crescendo Consulting. Again, if you want to check out this podcast on all the usual places, it's on iTunes, it's on Google Play, it's on Stitcher, it's on Spotify. Basically, anywhere you can find a podcast, you'll be able to find this one. Just search for Secrets of Staffing Success. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you leave us some feedback. Leave us a review. Let us know what you think of the show. We would greatly appreciate that. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will talk to you next time on Secrets of Staffing Success.